Are Republican leaders in Kansas at war with the courts? Some observers think so, especially after legislators passed a law this year that says that if a court strikes down a 2014 law that removes some powers from the state Supreme Court, the judiciary will actually lose funding. Legal experts say they've never seen a law quite like this anywhere in the country. With us to talk about it are Alicia Bannon. She's the counsel in the Democracy Program at the Brennan Center's Fair Courts Project. Alicia, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And also with us today, Kansas State Senator Jeff King. He's the vice president of the state Senate. Senator, nice to have you, too. Good morning.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Senator, there seems to be, you know, a lot of tension between the courts and the Republican-controlled legislature, as well as Governor Sam Brownback. Why?
You know, I think there has been tension between the legislative branch and the court system far predating Governor Brownback's election. If you look back in 2005 in the Montoy School Finance litigation that spawned, I think, four Supreme Court decisions and a special legislative session, tensions at that time were, from what I've heard from other observers, at an all-time high, and certainly, I believe, higher than they might be now. So when you have a checks and balances system of government, you're always going to have that tension. And I think the tension we're seeing now is not that different, maybe even less than it was a decade ago.
You know, you mentioned that Montoy decision of a decade ago, and I was certainly covering that back in those days. And, you know, I understand tension, but at that time, and even to this day, you hear lawmakers using phrases like constitutional crisis, maybe lawmakers deciding to ignore the will of the legislature, ignore the will of the courts. I've never heard, you know, that kind of talk before in my career. What about that?
Actually, back in 2005, and Steve, I remember your coverage, I was one of the lawyers defending the state in the Montoy case. That was before my legislative service. My predecessor in the legislature actually stood out on the steps of the Capitol and asked to be arrested by the court because he would refuse to follow any order the court would give in the Montoy case. And there were dozens of legislators that joined him in that sentiment. So I think any time you have that tension and that checks and balances of the system, you're going to have statements like that being made. They were in 05, and by not certainly by myself, but by some legislators, they are now.
Well, Senator, one of the bills that has people talking is a measure that the governor just signed that stipulates that if a state court disagrees with a 2014 law that you all passed that removes some powers from the state Supreme Court, the entire state judiciary will lose its funding. You know, let me just say that again. If a state court strikes down this law that removes authority from the Kansas Supreme Court, the judiciary will see its funding cut. Legal experts say they've never seen anything like that, Senator. And isn't that a little bit like saying if you strike down a certain law like abortion, we're going to cut your funding? And isn't that taking this argument again into sort of uncharted territory here?
I don't think it's like that at all. That provision was actually in the original 2014 bill. This was not a new provision that came this legislative session. In 2014, the legislature passed over $9 million in increased funding for the judicial branch. In fact, on a percentage basis, for a three-year fiscal period, the judicial branch got more of an increase of funding than any other agency or branch in the entire state government. And what it did in that was there were a couple of local control provisions included. Much like in the education bill that passed this year, there was a local control provision to enhance the power of local school boards. This bill included enhancements to the power of local judges and local chief judges. And in the Senate in particular, where I serve, it was very important to members that local control be included, and it was so important that there was a refusal to vote for that increased judicial funding unless that local control measure was also included. And that's what happened in 14, and it's what was continued in the bill that passed this year.
And again, just an observer just looking at all this from the sidelines might say that's judicial blackmail, Senator.
When you're looking at the judicial branch has administrative, the Constitution gives it administrative authority over the judiciary, much like the State Board of Education has the term supervisory authority over education. In both those contexts, the legislature has consistently endorsed local control. and wanting that local control of budget decisions and putting that in budget bills in both those contexts has been done at the state before. It's not unprecedented even in Kansas, and I think sticks to the principles of local control that have defined our state for generations.
Hmm. Alicia Bannon from Brennan Center's Fair Courts Project, weigh in here. What do you make of all this, Alicia?
Well, I think that the facts speak for themselves. What the Kansas legislature passed was a law that says that if the court rules a particular way in a lawsuit that is pending right now, the entire Kansas judiciary is going to be defunded. There will be no judicial budget for the Kansas judiciary. This isn't something that happens in the ordinary course. We don't know of a single example from another state where this kind of budgetary provision existed, where the funding of the entire court system was linked to the decision in a particular case. And I think it's very apparent that it places overwhelming pressure on the judges, on the judge hearing this case, to decide the case in a particular way.
Does this strike you as the phrase I used a few minutes ago, Alicia, judicial blackmail?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. It puts a tremendous amount of pressure on the courts. I think it's a real threat to the independence of our courts and the fairness of our courts. You know, if the legislature disagrees with a particular court decision, that, you know, this is a matter of interpreting the state constitution, they can take steps to change the state constitution, holding the judicial budget hostage as a way of potentially influencing how the court is going to approach this case. I think is very inappropriate.
Let me get our listeners engaged here. What do you make of all this, these tensions between the judicial branch, the legislative branch in Kansas, and the way the legislature is handling all this? 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Again, 816-235-2888, or you can tweet us at KCUR up to date. And Alicia, just to underscore the point, do other states do this, or if you're saying you haven't come across other states that have actually handled these situations quite like this?
I have never seen anything like this before. Now, to be clear, there have been troubling trends in a number of states where there have been legislative efforts to put pressure on courts, you know, impeachment proceedings brought against judges for unpopular decisions, efforts to change how judges are selected. So I think there is a broader national trend of the political branches inappropriately trying to put pressure on courts. But this is something this extreme is not something that we've ever seen, and to my knowledge, has never been attempted in any other state.
Now, what kind of attention is this getting in the legal community across the country, Alicia? I mean, how much attention and how much chatter have these moves generated?
I think it is something that has started to get attention in national circles. You know, this is an issue that's been covered now in a number of national media outlets, including the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times. I think a number of legal experts have weighed in, saying that this is something that is very concerning, and raises real constitutional questions about the separation of powers and the appropriate role that the legislature should be playing in terms of its interaction with the courts.
Senator King, respond here again. What we're hearing is this is a singular action by the legislature in Kansas.
Well, and one thing where Alicia and I do agree is that the facts on this speak for themselves. I think how we see those facts is unfortunately very different. This provision was in law long before this litigation existed. This was not a provision in response to litigation, and it's not an attempt to tie the court budget to anything else other than the court budget. This is a judicial funding bill. All of the issues we're talking about are issues of judicial funding, and the legislature, as the funding authority in government, I believe has the right to say, as many other legislatures have, that tying who makes those budget decisions to the overall budgeting authority is inherent in the authority of the legislature.
Yes, but what you're saying, though, Senator, is if the courts go in a different direction and say that what you've asked for is unconstitutional or against the law, we're going to cut your funding.
That if the court views this mechanism as unconstitutional, all they would have to do is strike the non-severability clause linking them as unconstitutional. Interestingly, the lawsuit in this case that's being funded by the Brennan Center,
and we'll talk about that,
didn't even challenge the constitutionality of this provision we're talking about today. So if the courts think that this is a step too far, they could strike down that provision that we're talking about. Why the Brennan Center chose not to even challenge the provision that it finds so offensive in this conversation, you'd have to ask their lawyers. I don't know.
Alicia, why didn't you guys go after that part of the situation here?
Well, I mean, the lawsuit is ongoing, and there's two different provisions that we're talking about. There was an earlier funding provision as part of the initial law, and then there is this new budget provision, which is much more extreme, which would link the entire budget for the Kansas judiciary for 2 years to the outcome of this litigation, this challenge to a 2014 law that strips the Supreme Court of certain budgetary and legislative authority. And, you know, I mean, I think that right now we're considering, you know, legal options in connection with this new law.
So there might be, it's possible there will be more legal motions filed in this case, is what you're saying, Alicia.
You know, I mean, I think we need to see what happens as the litigation develops.
Okay, let's go to some phone calls. 816-235-2888 is our number here. What do you make of this, this tension between the legislature and the Kansas courts? How's it shaking out in your mind? Tweet us at KCUR up to date. Ron from Topeka, good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead,
good
Ron.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm dumbfounded over the whole thing. I just can't believe what's going on. You know, you had mentioned blackmail. I think extortion is the more appropriate word. They it's going to be their way or the highway. It just doesn't add up. You sit them down, you count it out, it doesn't add up. No matter what sort of responses you're getting from people with you there today, they have a lot of answers for things, but that dog just don't hunt in my neck of the world.
Senator King, your way or the highway is what Ron's saying. What about it?
Oh, what we're trying to do with this, and what we've tried to do overall, is to promote a policy of local control, and we've tried to do it in a way that actually grows the judicial budget. If this were a legislative versus judicial fight or an our way or the highway, we would not have passed judicial budgets with historic levels of funding increases, mm-hmm. especially in the time of budget difficulty that we've had. We would not have structured any of this in the way that we did. If the court wants to rule this non-severability clause unconstitutional, it has every right to do that and certainly can exercise that power if the litigants put that question before them. Well, so the court still has a lot of control of this, and it has an increased judicial budget to resolve this process.
Well, Senator, the courts were saying, if I understand correctly, that they simply needed more money or they were going to be forced to shut down some days given budget pressures. Isn't that what was behind this?
The courts were given, I think it was $9 million more funding last year, and the last bill had about $6 million of enhancements in it from the original budget proposal. There were enhancements that they claimed they needed, and if they didn't have those enhancements, would be forced to furlough some days. The legislature met those requests to the point that the courts will not have to furlough. They will stay open and be able to continue total operations. So I think one aspect of this that gets overlooked is the level of funding commitment that the legislature has made in these tough budget times, and that doesn't fit in with the narrative of a legislative judicial fight, because the legislature is really meeting its budget obligations in those regards.
Yeah. Well, Gavin tweeted us this. This is an abusive power grab and an attempt to strong-arm the court. The Kansas legislature should be ashamed of itself. You know, I want to talk a little more about what you were saying before, Senator, about what happened last year. The legislature passed this law that took power away from the Supreme Court and gave it to local courts. The law specifically did two things. It took the authority to appoint chief judges for the district courts away from the Supreme Court and gave it to the local courts themselves. It also deprived the state's highest court of the right to set district court budgets. Senator, again, run by us why that was an important step to take.
Sure, I'd be happy to. I'll take the last step first. The budget authority, it allows local chief judges, they don't decide how much money their district court gets. Supreme Court gets to do that. It gives them the flexibility, if they want, to decide how they spend their money in their own courts. They know their courts better than anyone else. We wanted to make sure they had that authority if they want it. If they don't want it, the Supreme Court operates as it usually does. And then we were looking at the model that the majority of states use and allow district judges to select their own head. They should select their own chief. They know their own members the best. They should be able to govern themselves in that fashion. There is no legislative power grab in this. The legislature's power changes not one iota. We're just empowering those local judges to do things in their courts that they know better than anyone else.
Alicia, the Brennan Center, as Senator King mentioned a few minutes ago, has sued over that law. Why? What's the basis for it?
Well, we're representing a chief judge of a district court in Kansas in a lawsuit. You know, our position is that in the 1970s, the people of Kansas amended the Constitution to create a unified court system that gave the Supreme Court power over these budgetary and administrative decisions. If the Kansas legislature disagrees with that judgment of the people of Kansas, then they can certainly put that to a constitutional amendment and put it back to the people to reconsider. But the idea that the legislature has the power to strip the Supreme Court's power in this way is a real infringement on the appropriate balance of powers between the branches of government.
So it's not so much a philosophical disagreement that you have, this notion of local control. It's more of a legal issue in and of itself.
Exactly. It's an issue. I mean, there were reasons why the people of Kansas made that judgment in the 1970s. The creation of this unified court system was in response to concerns about what decentralization had done. You know, there were issues in terms of, you know, keeping personnel, statistics, et cetera, that was having a decentralized system made it hard to manage Kansas's court system. There were a series of reports and studies that called for a unified court system. So, you know, there were good reasons, I think, why Kansas made that judgment in the 70s. But I think the important part is that Kansas did make that judgment and enshrined it in the Constitution. And so it's not the role of the legislature now to try to strip that power from the Supreme Court. It's a decision that should belong to the people of Kansas.
You know, Senator King, at the time that you guys made these changes that we're talking about here, taking power away from the state Supreme Court, the court actually came out strongly against the change, in a very rare step for the court to speak out in such a way. Quote, "The Supreme Court of Kansas has strongly opposed this bill since its creation. We are troubled now that it has been signed by the governor. It weakens the centralized authority of the Kansas Unified Court System in exchange for money to pay our employees and keep courts open, and the money it provides still may fall short of even doing that. This," the court said, "is a poor trade." Senator, did that statement surprise you?
Oh, and when you say the court, that's the Supreme Court.
Court.
These initiatives
correct.
Were actually brought forward by a group of district judges. These were not legislative initiatives. They're actually the initiatives of a group of district judges. So I think there's some disagreement within the Kansas court system about this balance itself. It didn't surprise me in the sense that the Supreme Court had already testified on the issue before the Senate Judiciary Committee. It did surprise me that the Supreme Court made a comment about a bill in a public fashion that would be brought before it for challenge. Mm-hmm. I think it's very rare for the Supreme Court to essentially prejudge the constitutionality of a bill before that issue even becomes before it in a judicial proceeding.
There's another big case on the horizon, as you know, Senator. It has to do with school funding once again and whether the state needs to increase that funding by hundreds of millions of dollars. You hear lots of Republican lawmakers, as we talked about before, saying the state's highest court would be way out of line and would be overstepping its authority if it came out and ordered that increase. Some might say you're trying to intimidate the courts by some of these actions to discourage a ruling that would order hundreds of millions of dollars for the courts, that you're trying to cow the judges. Senator, what would you say to that?
Absolutely not. This is not any attempt in that regard. I have said publicly and will reiterate over and over, we have a bill that is tied totally to the funding of the judicial branch. It would be utterly inappropriate to link the funding of the judicial branch to school finance, any other policy question that comes up. That would be utterly inappropriate. We are looking in this context at a bill that deals with judicial funding as a whole, and there's a non-severability clause in it because the legislature wanted it considered as a whole. But I would firmly agree that there is no place for tying the judicial budget in any way, shape, or form to a school finance decision or any other unrelated decision.
Okay, we're going to have to leave our conversation there. Senator King, thank you very much for taking some time today. I sure appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
That's State Senator Jeff King. He's vice president of the Kansas Senate. Alicia Bannon is the counsel. She's involved with the Brennan Center's Fair Courts Project. Alicia, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
You bet.